Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
Good morning, Sweet World, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. That was a jam. It's Friday, July 2nd. This is The Drop. I'm J.E. Skeets, rolling with the homie, Tass Mellis.
What's up, big boys?
Got my Top Shot Hot Boy, Trey Kirby.
Heyo!
Hey!
Yo! The international man of mystery, taking it to the max, Lee Ellis.
Friends.
And finally, man, making the magic happens, J.D.
Hello.
There he is. Here we are. Where'd you find that one, JD? That was awesome.
That's courtesy of Matty O sent me that
one. Oh, hey. Look at this guy. Still producing.
Exactly right.
Shout out to the stream team joining us live here on YouTube this morning. Smash that like button. Drop your comments below this video to help us defeat the mighty algorithm. And make sure you subscribed if you haven't already. Keep sending in your questions and comments for the next Beach Steppin' podcast. Email them in, nodunks@theathletic.com. And immaculate items always available for sale over at nodunks.com. Yesterday, dropped this banger of a t-shirt. Yeah, the No Dunks Suns mashup. The Photoshop boys meet the Valley boys. So go grab that over at nodunks.com. Okay, on today's drop, we got Five Star Friday. We got Tweet of the Night. We got Rapid Fire Fun. But we start with a little game talk. Without Giannis, the Bucks beat the Hawks. 123-112 for the 3-2 series lead. Tass, what's your big takeaway from this one? You know, it was a little lackluster missing Trey and missing Giannis, but what'd you think of Big Brook there?
Yeah, I know a lot of people going into this one felt a little bit of a malaise, a little bit, where are the superstars in this game? Because, you know, with all the talk going around that there's injuries all over the place, this was the first game throughout the entire playoffs where all the superstars were hurt in the game. Now, no disrespect to Chris Middleton and friends, but if you look back, at least there was one superstar on the floor for about the approximately 75 playoff games we've had so far. So this one, for sure, you know, a little wind out of the sails with no Trey and no Giannis to start. Mm-hmm. But this game was really, really solid. If you wanted to watch some good basketball, I think Brook Lopez started it off first defensive possession. He got switched out to Kevin Huerter, probably the biggest dude on the floor, guarding one of the skinniest guys on the floor, and he was able to stick with him, force him left, and block him at the elbow. Just incredible defense. And you know, usually the team that lost the previous game comes out with a little bit of fight, and the Bucks were obviously doing that. They didn't go to the rim in the first half of last game. They had 7 buckets at the rim in the first half of last game, but they surpassed that in the first 6 minutes of this game. They had 9 because of Brook. I mean, he was huge along with Drew, and those guys were coming out forceful because they lost the game. And Brook, I think, you know, maybe threw off Clint Capella a little bit because they didn't have to play this way. You know, the first 5 games of the series, the Hawks didn't have to really watch for Brook, but Brook was just taking it to Clint Capella's chin. I mean, he was doing an incredible job. You know, he had flashbacks of Brook in the post, you know, in his Brooklyn Nets days, his New Jersey Nets days. Watch him, he was shooting push shots from the free throw line, and it was cool just to see him in that mode. And then obviously Drew Holiday was doing the same thing. He had 4 guys when it came down to it: Brook, Middleton, Holiday, and Portis, that scored 20 plus, because they were really taking it to the Hawks. And again, the team that loses comes back, but the Hawks also fought back. This was, yeah, no superstars, but it was a good game basically down to the wire. It could have been a game where the Hawks kind of faded away, but they absolutely did not. And going into game 6, it's nice to see Bogdan Bogdanovic still shooting it really, really well for the Hawks. 10 to 22, 0 turnovers. But yeah, the Bucks got it in so many different ways. You have to worry about the Hawks without Trey. You have to really get a lot of guys pitching in like the Bucks did. And I think, you know, without Giannis and without Trey, I think the Bucks have the better team. They just have more guys that can execute, and have been, you know, stars in their previous life. Had you know, 3 guys who were all-stars, plus a Bobby P who was doing it. So, yeah, just across the board, pretty, pretty nice. But you know, if you got to get Trey, I think you got to get Trey back if you're the Hawks. Because if you got Bogdan Bogdanovic beside him, feeling it the way he is, if you watch him, he's flicking it right now. It's not think about it. He's just like guy in his face, flicks it over him. So he's back in that mode. So if Trey comes back for game 6, they need him back for game 6, then we still got a series. It's not over, ladies and gentlemen. It's not over.
Yeah, they got contributions from their big 4, if you're throwing Bobby Portis in there, for sure. Brook Lopez, 33 points, 14 of 18 shooting. A lot of it in pick and roll action, too. It wasn't like they were like going to him on the block. It's like, here you go, post up. It was, had him moving, and there's more space, right? Because Giannis isn't playing. Bobby can stretch the floor a little bit. So it's like, Brook, you're usually the big that's got to stretch the floor when Giannis is out there, but now you're the one we can put in that action. He was awesome. And then Bobby Portis, 22 points, career playoff high. They're chanting his name every single time, it feels like, there in Milwaukee, which is cool. Drew Holiday, 25 and 13, awesome. Middleton, 26 and 13 and 8, awesome. Especially those two guys, Trey, Middleton, and Drew Holiday, almost all postseason long, they never play well at the same time. So for them both to have really good, solid games, of course, helped to the victory. But what did you see in this one from any of those 4 guys from Milwaukee?
Well, the superstars weren't out there, but the Bucks can still roll out 3 all-stars, which is pretty impressive. That was Brook Lopez 1.0 out there. He's become a 3-and-D big man at this point, but old heads remember back in the day when Brook Lopez was posting up and scoring in the lane, and that's exactly what it was last night. This was almost a carbon copy, or maybe a mirror image, I suppose, of Game 4 to me. The Hawks never trailed in Game 4. The Bucks never trailed last night, and to me it just looked like the Hawks were a little out of it. Maybe they thought they were going to have Trae Young back for this game and he was an even later scratch. I don't know. Meanwhile, the Bucks just kind of looked free without Giannis, where, you know, it's kind of like we all got to do a little bit of something here to pick up for the loss of our superstar. I don't know. Maybe that means Trae is going to be a little bit closer for game 6. But I was very impressed with the way that Drew Holiday played. I called him out yesterday saying he hasn't played great on both sides of the ball yet in this series. And last night, he was able to lock down Lou Williams, and he was able to produce and really orchestrate things offensively for the Bucks. And it was kind of just a little tweak in aggression. As Drew said after the game, it was one of our main priorities just to be aggressive out of the gate, be the aggressor, and be more aggressive than they were. And seriously, the Bucks did that. 28 points in the paint in the first quarter for Milwaukee. They were up 30-10. They scored on their first 13 possessions. And yeah, the Hawks were able to stay in it. They kept competing, and I thought that was very impressive to not just tuck it in and say, okay, we're done for the game tonight. But the game was really over after the first quarter. You could tell the Bucks were playing a little bit harder, a little bit locked in. Like Tass is saying, they were switching everything, but not always. They just played a really smart defensive game, and they basically just made it so that the Hawks don't have a ton of gaps to exploit defensively, because without Trae Young, you're relying on Bogdan Bogdanovic, who's been playing better, but still isn't at 100%. You're relying on Kevin Huerter, who's had some nice games in the playoffs, still not a number one guy. And you're relying on Lou Williams, who was awesome in Game 4, but in Game 5 just kind of came back to earth because Lou Williams ain't Trae Young. And, you know, the Bucks kind of saw what was going to be happening for Atlanta. They were probably caught off guard in Game 4 with all the movement, but they made it a lot harder for the for Atlanta to attack one-on-one against Milwaukee last night, and then they just crushed them inside. You know, in Game 4, the Hawks got contributions from everybody 1 through 9. That's exactly what Milwaukee did in Game 5.
Yeah, the Bucks were up 20 points, Lee, in less than 9 minutes. Did you were you a My Buddy Grish about this game last night? Did you feel like this one was over? The Hawks cut it to, like, I want to say six points maybe at one point.
I think that's right, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's sort of the closest it's got. It felt like there in the second half, it was always like a 9 to an 11-point lead. You know, the Bucks would get it a little bit bigger. Hawks would hit a couple threes, whatever. But, yeah, was it over in the first, let's say, 10 minutes of this game? Be honest with me. Did you think, Milwaukee's winning this one tonight?
It sort of did feel that way, to be honest. And, you know, I've criticized Budenholzer a couple of times in the playoffs for his teams not really seemingly being ready for a game, and I think that wasn't the case last night. I think he clearly understood this was, you know, technically not a must win, but in reality, I think it was, because they sort of needed to really show that, you know, without Giannis, they're still a better team, I think, than the Hawks without Trae Young. And I think you saw that last night, because as you guys mentioned there, all the stars for the Bucks contributed, stepped up, played well on both ends of the floor. And just, it was a kind of boring but impressive victory that they never really gave the Hawks life. You know, Bogdanovich did hit a couple of threes there and they did make those runs, but it never felt that the Hawks had quite enough offense to overcome the Bucks as long as the Bucks kept putting pressure on them on the other end of the floor. And I think that's what it was. Milwaukee just understood, like, we don't need anyone to go out and go for 45 or anything like this. Just everyone contribute, keep mixing up that offense, explore Brooke inside, because he is just a monster of a human being, and they didn't really have anyone who could physically stop him. So Budenholzer, I think, was like, listen guys, this is basically could be the series tonight. History's on their side, data's on their side, you know, percentages are now heavily on Milwaukee's side. Even if Trae comes back, you know, I mean, the Bucks are still a good team, but that's what I think it was about it for me. It was Milwaukee was like, from the start, from the tip, get this game into a sort of place where we're leading and we're not having to play catch up and we're not giving those Hawks any life, because they do fight to the end. There's no question they keep on fighting. Nate McMillan has really installed that into his team where it's like, just keep battling, and Trae Young has been great, but obviously when he's not there, someone else sort of had to step up. And it just felt that, you know, in games where Gallinari has a good contribution offensively, that's like great when you have Trae going for 35, 40 points. But when he's sort of, again, a bit of a heavier focal point on the offense, it's like, I think the Bucks can live with this, you know, as long as, you know, they don't let up at the other end. And they didn't really do that. So if you're Milwaukee, you know, this is not a game that you're going to look back and say, wow, what an impressive performance, what a great win. It was just a business-like victory by a team that has put itself into the position now where it can close out the series. It's got two chances to do it, one at home. You know, the Hawks have still got fight in them. I also don't necessarily think that they just come to Atlanta and end the series. But certainly Milwaukee, after what they saw Atlanta did in Game 4, they had that big emotional victory where their star wasn't there and everyone else contributed. Well, the Bucks kind of had that now. And if they go to Milwaukee, who knows if Giannis and Trae is going to play or not. But Milwaukee can feel like, same sort of thing. If we just attack them from the start, use the advantages we have on the offensive end, then we can maybe close this series out. Because, you know, this is Milwaukee's series to lose from here, and they really shouldn't do that. They're in the box seat. And they should be able to close it out. So, good sort of uneventful, just like get the job done, Milwaukee, and they did that.
Atlanta's hope here, is that what, Tass, another 48 hours of rest and treatment and recovery, whatever, is going to have Trae Young ready to go. If I am a betting man, I think he laces him up and tries on Saturday night, Game 6. But what would the Bucks do now? If you're there in the front office or part of the training staff, like, do you bring Giannis back for Game 6? Or do you, like, even if he's like, I can go, do you say, you know what, let's go to Atlanta and see what happens, and then maybe, you know, in breaking case of emergency, we need to, for Game 7, we go then. But what would you do? Or what do you expect to happen?
I hear what you're saying. You're implying that, they'd sit him out now that they're up 3-2, sit him out and get him ready for Game 7.
Right.
That's definitely what I'm vibing with, too, watching him limp around the bench and going back to the locker room. It's not all 100% there down in the lower extremity for sure. It's not happening right now. I'm with you. I mean, I didn't doubt him coming back yesterday because I just don't want to doubt Giannis's toughness. Mm-hmm. But the Bucks played it smart and they obviously showed up for their superstar. Now going back to Atlanta, I'm sure they're all going to show up. But I agree. I think he probably sits now going into Game 7. I definitely expect a good game no matter who's on the floor, because I think one good thing about the 2021 playoffs is that this, as we said, would have been a game where the road team just, you know, rolled over and died, especially without their superstar, especially, you know, knowing that, you know, they've got home court to go back to. But I don't think it's happening, like, basically at all. I feel like there's a lot less blowouts, you know, since the first round. There's far fewer blowouts than in years past. Now, people in the stream team, you know, giving it to me. After my first little spiel there, I said this was a game that went down to the wire. It absolutely did not go down to the wire, but
went down to the fourth quarter.
It went to the fourth quarter. They played
all 48 minutes, though. They did.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess I meant in sports speak that it wasn't necessarily decided until the fourth quarter. You know, the Hawks weren't dead. I think, you know, we could get Josh Schumann on this.
The Hawks were scoring. They just couldn't get stops at all, I thought. I mean, they were still scoring at a decent clip in the second half, but they could never string together enough stops. Sorry to interrupt you there.
Yeah, no, I just think there's far fewer blowouts. Maybe some, you know, Seth Partnow has been documenting that, you know, throughout the playoffs for The Athletic. I think that games have been closer. And the Hawks, we're getting the four best teams here, and it just could have been a blowout, but Bogdan Bogdanovic again was the guy who I think, you know, 7 threes in this game. He looks like a different guy with scoring 28 points than, you know, the guy we were ridiculing in Game 4. He started to come on in the second half of Game 5. He just needs to keep that up because, you know, you can't really rely on Collins for 25. It's a bit of fool's gold to rely on Gallo for you know, 20 plus. But you know, Herter the same thing. So Boggy's got to be that same guy. But I expect a great battle on Saturday night. No one's rolling over.
I don't think the Hawks though can win Game 6 without Trae Young. That I think they got that game. That, you know, it happens in Game 4. Everybody's amazing. You get Lou doing his incredible impersonation of Trae. I just don't think it's likely. TK, I don't like the Hawks' chances to win it if he doesn't play. But I expect he will try and give it a go. That is, my gut just says that. You know, it's an ankle. You can get a shot or two in there and maybe numb it a little bit. Who knows? But do you agree with that? Like, would you have the chances of the Hawks winning that game without Trae is super, super low? What do you think, TK?
I don't think the Hawks can win without Trae Young. Yeah. Obviously, we saw him do it in Game 4. They did blow out the Bucks in Game 4. Bogdan Bogdanovic has been great since he was Bogdanovic in Game 3, but he's made 13 threes, 6 in Game 4, 7 in Game 5, but he's still not able to really exploit the defense from a taking guys off the dribble standpoint, I don't think, quite yet. I mean, he's starting to score a little bit more inside the three-point arc, which is huge, but I don't know if he's up to the number one perimeter guy role like Trae Young has been in this series so far. The three-point shooting helps, and it gives Trae Young a little bit more space out there. At the very least, I imagine we'll see Trae give a James Harden performance, you know, where he can handle the ball, he can pass the ball, he can take open threes. Maybe he's not quite as explosive off the dribble, but I don't know. I think even without Giannis, the Bucks could probably come into Atlanta and get this win if Trae Young isn't playing, because as we saw in Game 4, you know, and Game 5, really, when you count out a team that's missing its star, that kind of gives the team that's missing its star an advantage sometimes, right? Where you just sleep on them a little bit, and I don't think that will be the case for the Bucks in Game 6 with the chance to go to the finals, right? We saw the Suns really take care of business against the Clippers when they had a chance on the road. And I imagine that the Bucks, you know, getting so close to actually breaking through and playing for a championship, we're going to see an insane effort from them in Game 6, which was not the case in Game 4.
Trae, are you loving this, Bobby Portis run here that he's on? Obviously drafted by your Bulls, played a couple, he was there for like 3 seasons, I guess, at the start of his career, and then bounced around and finds his way to Milwaukee here, now starting a playoff game and playing so well. Like, he has been really, really good. Are you loving it as, obviously, a Bulls fan?
No, he's playing for the Bucks, buddy.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know. Yeah,
I do love, though, that we've gotten to the point in Bobby Portis's career where it's just totally fine to call him Crazy Eyes. Reggie Miller did on the broadcast. Yeah. They showed people in the stands for the Bucks holding up Crazy Eyes Bobby Portis signs. Apparently, the guy thinks about opponents slapping his mother in the face before a game to get fired up for the game.
Sure.
And it's worked for Bobby. He's been really, really playing well. He's a little bit of a Brook Lopez facsimile where he can kind of stretch the court, but he can also score inside. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's just bringing athleticism and intensity that the Hawks haven't necessarily been able to match in his minutes because Okongwu is out there balling. I think he's playing really, really well. He brings the energy, but Bobby Portis is pretty skilled offensively as well. And he's been a little bit of a difference in this series in the Bucks' wins.
Yeah, I think I heard him after one of the games earlier in this series said the guys on his team call him BP. Obviously his initials, but also the gas chain, because he brings the gas, he brings that energy. I was like, oh wow.
You want that, don't you?
Hey, let's go back to car talk. We did so much yesterday. Let's
what
talk
octane
about
is this guy?
But
here comes the gas boy.
Yeah, he's a bolt or a jolt, I should say, of energy, Lee. And I thought he was awesome. I think he's been awesome all sort of playoff long.
Yeah, it was game three. We were down there and Trey was, we were like, Bobby's just been great for them because he really was important. And going into that Giannis role last night, starting, can this guy step up and be more than just a little bit of an energy boost off the bench? And yeah, he was. He was absolutely instrumental in their victory. So, you know, he's an interesting guy because I don't know if anyone even remembers when he was on the Washington Wizards, that sort of mid-season trade he had there. I know he had a one season with the Knicks.
Yep.
But, you know, now he has found and sort of this is the sort of role for him. I don't think he, I mean, I guess he could be a starting sort of power forward in the league, but I think he is better sort of just coming off the bench and just giving a bit of a boost and, you know, spreading the floor. He plays defense, he hustles, he works hard, he gets into it a little bit with teammates, but he's also that guy who's like, is this guy super crazy or is he just super friendly? Because who was it there last night? I think it was with John Collins. I think they had a little bit of a butt slap with each other after a sort of contested play. So you're always like, I think this guy's not crazy. I think he just sort of looks crazy because he's pretty friendly.
I mean, he sent Nikola Mirotic to the hospital, so he's a little.
Oh, well, yeah, that's true, yeah.
That's why they call him BP, though. He's a butt patter.
But listen, I mean, you know, when you are Budenholzer again in a game like that, like, can you really rely on a veteran to come in there and do it? And he showed, I think, with his performances and accepting that role coming off the bench that he is ready and he is capable of handling some bigger minutes. So, you know, if he can keep this up in Game 6, that'll be huge, you know, because I don't think Giannis plays Game 6. Yeah. I think if you're the Bucks, you're like, we've got a game in hand here, so, you know, a little bit of extra rest is probably more important, you know, because they can survive still, obviously, if they lose that game. But they want to sort of have a look big picture, I think, for Giannis. And if they need him for Game 7, then he's going to have a few extra days rest. But anyway, we'll find out. But overall, yeah, I mean, for Milwaukee, you know, no one stood out, but everyone contributed there last night. And again, Bobby just slotted into that starting lineup pretty seamlessly. So that's a really good sign, I think, for Milwaukee, and probably does give Budenholzer the confidence that they can go into Game 6 and not start off the way they did Game 4 there, where they were out of it from the start. And that's when they did have Giannis. So, you know, that's going to be the big test, I think, for Saturday night's game, is how Milwaukee comes out of the blocks, because they want to end this series as quickly as possible.
I just want to show this Bobby Portis sign that was in the crowd with the flaming crazy eyes.
Jesus. Hold on. By the way, that looks nothing like fucking Bobby Portis at all.
Yeah, I don't think I would have guessed it was him either without the eyes and the headband. I think that's why they put the number on the headband.
Yeah.
That's why they threw that number 9 on there. That's the guy.
He's a big headband guy as well. Like, he's one of those big, thick headband guys.
He's got a lot of accessories. He's verging on the Reggie Jackson, Kirk Heinrich territory. And I would say he's even verging on the Chris Paul, Kyle Lowry, big old booty territory as well. Bobby the Boost Portis.
Yeah.
I thought it was impressive, though. The Bucks started three legitimate big guys with P.J. Tucker, Bobby Portis, and Brook Lopez out there, and they said, we're crushing you in the paint.
Yeah.
I think they had a 30 points in the paint advantage last night, and that's something I thought could be something the Bucks looked to after Game 1. They really didn't go to it until Game 6 Game 5 when they needed to. But, I mean, I don't know. Collins and Capella. Like, Capella, I'm a big Capella fan, but he can't be outplayed like Brook Lopez by Brook Lopez like that, especially with Brook Lopez kind of playing as a traditional center. Like, if Brook Lopez makes 10 threes and scores 30 points, I kind of understand that from Capella, but Capella's supposed to be locking it down inside, and that was not happening last night.
Bro, how many dunks did Brooke Lopez have last night?
A million. Yeah, I don't know if Brooke Lopez has had that many dunks in the past few seasons. And some of them are like the most massive dunks of his career.
He's been dunking a ton in the playoffs, it feels like. Like, just cutting down the lane there and having huge, like, you know, legs going everywhere and flying out. And when you see that big, big body jumping up like that, it's just because it happened for game three down here in Atlanta. And, you know, you saw the rim just, like, rocking afterwards.
Guy's huge.
He's such a big dude.
We went out for Nora's birthday yesterday, so we were playing a little catch-up with the game when we got home. And she was like, Who is this guy? Who's the Brooke Lopez? This guy's a monster, right? And I'm like, oh yeah. Then I'm like, oh, you got to hear him talk. I was like praying he was going to get the post game interview, which he did. She's like, oh my God, that's what he sounds like. And then I'm like, there's another one of these guys. So he's got a twin brother in the league. He's maybe even crazier looking. And it was, you know, we were going down a Lopez rabbit hole, but he was awesome. When he threw down an oop like that though, like reaching back, you're right, TK. That's on the short list of one of his best dunks of his career. I don't know many of them off the top of my head. I don't remember many, at least, alley-oop dunks like that from Brooke Lopez, where he's reaching back and actually had some verticality.
Yeah, we got to get John Schumann in here as the next historian to let us know about some of Brooke Lopez's sickest dunks early in his career. But the oop was huge. There was also the one where I think Drew Holiday had like a little smitty on the left wing. He drives baseline, finds Lopez cutting down. Yeah. The middle of the hoop, and he goes for like just a big tomahawk jam. That was an awesome one too. Brooke Lopez, like, that was the ultimate throwback. Brooke Lopez, like, hey, don't forget, I can still score inside if you ever need me to. Just let me know. I'm right here if you need me.
Well, I'll tell you what, Hawks fans, don't think this is over. I've had some Hawks fans, you're not gonna believe this, Tess, asking me, hey, do you want to come to Milwaukee for game 7? I got a ticket if you want to fly to Milwaukee for game 7. And I'm like, ooh, I'm contemplating. I'm like, Jesus, well, first you got to get there. But, man, I've never been to Milwaukee. I've only heard good things. I'd love to go to the arena. Yeah, but I don't know. I'm also just like, yeah, you know, none of these are my teams. I don't care. I don't even – what would I do in Milwaukee for a game 7? Would I wear a Larry Luke Hawk shirt? Would I be the enemy? And would I borrow Chris Middleton jersey from JD? I don't know what I would do. I don't think I can go. I think that ticket should go to somebody else.
Yeah, we used to have an old Michael Redd jersey in the old Stardust studio. Maybe you could bust that one out.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Okay. Anyway.
Looks like a great place to watch a game. Yeah, sure. Of course they do. But it's fun. Like, we showed the sign there happening in Milwaukee yesterday. I don't see a lot of signs throughout the league, really. And if you watch during breaks in play, if you watch on the NBA app, if you watch the League Pass feed, they're just chugging beers. As soon as they get on camera, every person hammering a beer. There was a guy who, you know, impressed everybody in the arena because he went back-to-back. Yeah, you could pull this off. He went back to back, double fisted, but he had a shandy, two shandies, you know, which are like 2.5%.
Yeah,
you know,
like a lemonade.
The sweetie sweets. But everybody, yeah, it's an experience there. You know, it's as close, I think, to an NFL experience as we got in the league. They're having fun. I don't see, again, the signs thing. Are fans allowed to bring in signs in any arena now?
I don't think so. Yeah.
It just doesn't, you don't see them. I remember going down to MARTA, going to the Hawks games, people would bring in their big heads of Hawks players or even opposing players sometimes, but I don't think they're allowed anymore. But in Milwaukee, I don't think there are any rules. Maybe you can have fun there, man.
Maybe I can take a no-dunk sign. I can get on the show. Can you go back to that photo real quick, JD, of that woman with the sign there? This lady looks more like Rihanna than that sign looks like Bobby Portis.
That girl Rora in the house. Yeah. Sheryl Crow was there for game two, I guess it was.
Yeah. Was she, maybe was she there again last night? We don't know. We didn't see her on the broadcast.
Bon Iver was there last night. Yeah, Matt Austin was very excited that Sheryl Crow was apparently a Bucks fan. So I sent him the Bon Iver picture last night. No response. Come on, man.
I mean, brutal. Maybe the Habs were playing still. I don't know.
Who knows about hockey? I thought this guy was an indie rock fan. Guess not.
Think he would respond Taylor Swiftly to that for sure? Nothing. Chance the Rapper's at every game. He's a huge Bucks fan.
What?
He's serious.
Chance. He's a really huge Bucks fan.
Is he not?
I don't know. He's from Chicago. Get him out of here if he's a Bucks fan.
Am I confused? I think he is.
Trey's offended if this is true.
I think he is.
Chance the Rapper lost me a long time ago, to be honest. But no, he's not getting back in my good graces.
Well, maybe he's a big Bobby Portis fan. Eh? Maybe that's why he was a Bulls fan, and then now he's a Bucks
Bobby
fan.
Portis ruined a Bulls season. We can never cheer for him, Skeets. He sent Nikola Mirotic to the hospital. Then Nikola Mirotic came back. The Bulls won 8 straight games and ruined their draft pick.
You were excited to meet Bobby Portis in a casino lobby in Summer
no
League.
Doubt, no
I was
doubt.
With you. I was excited. I was like,
dude,
oh, wow.
When the Bulls drafted Bobby Portis, I was fired up, and then he started playing.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
yeah confirmed. Flourished. Confirmed. Sorry. Sheryl Crow, Chance the Rapper, and Bon Iver, I guess. Huge wow. Buckaroo fans.
Oh. I saw, JD, you might like this. This is a cool story, bro. Toni Collette last night was at the restaurant we were at.
Really?
Yeah. Very, lot taller in person than you would think.
Interesting. I wonder what she's shooting.
Yeah.
She's Australian, eh?
Yeah. I was
is she Australian?
Say.
I didn't
yeah.
know.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of a time that she actually spoke with her native accent in a film or show, but I can't think of one.
Why didn't Toni Collette not make your top 10 most famous Australians?
Well, that's
right?
Why. See, that maybe she's not that famous. No, wasn't her big one Muriel's Wedding? That was her, I think, wasn't it?
maybe.
What have I done?
Thanks. Thanks,
boy. What have I done? I've got Lee Googling Toni Collette's IMDb page now. Here we go. Perfect time to take our first break.
Don't just ride the index, seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Back with No Dunk, somehow, inexplicably, it's already a new month. We're in July. It's July already. So, seeing as it's the first Friday of the new month, it's Five Star Friday. Can you believe it, Trey Kirby? Already?
Half the year is gone?
Oh my god.
Wild stuff. Also wild stuff. What's going on with Apple Podcasts? Oh, 0-star review for Apple Podcasts right now. But these are your top 5 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts from the month of June. Our first one, very simple, from Bean Fanatic. 5 stars. Boys talking beans. Title says it all.
Yep.
There's your official 5-star bean review for this month. Got to get one in every month. Our second 5-star.
Hold on. We never got the story from you, Trey, that you spilt beans on your jeans.
I spilt beans on my jeans and I had to get them clean. There's not much more to the story except for that I literally did spill beans on my jeans. It was right near my hip pocket. And I just kept saying around the house, Laura, Isla, Ada, I spilled beans on my jeans. You know, it's getting some laughs from the kids. You know, I got a little bit of a bean following on the internet. I knew it was going to be worth it for the engagement, okay. Skeets. Right. Beans on the jeans. It's a good one. The internet loves beans. Internet loves beans. Our second 5-star review comes from Kevin Abstract. No Dunks is a very solid podcast. When I was a kid, I used to come home after school every day to watch the starters on YouTube every day. It's what got me into basketball. I never missed an episode. When they went off the air, it was a huge gap in my life, and I slowly lost interest in the sport. But then one day, I stumbled across the pod by accident and almost started crying. It was like seeing friends for the first time in years. I won't miss an episode now. Good job.
Thanks, Kevin.
Welcome home, buddy.
We missed you. Yep.
We missed you. Dry those tears from your eyes, put some headphones on, and enjoy another classic. Our third five-star review, June 2021 Apple Podcast, blah, 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 blah. This one comes from Ryan, 5 stars. Best podcast about basketball and life and other stuff, 5 stars. The June 2021 Apple Podcast update is absolute garbage.
Yes.
-5 stars. We're with you, Ryan. We're with you. Things are slow right now. But there's nothing we can do about it. Luckily for everybody out there with ears, you can listen to No Dunks Like everywhere.
Yeah.
You can listen to it on YouTube, Spotify. You can get that RSS feed and throw it into whatever other podcast player you want. You can subscribe to The Athletic at theathletic.com/nodunks and hear ad-free episodes. There are many ways to listen, and someday the Apple Podcast app will also work.
Crazy.
So that
don't forget
exciting.
About the beans.
Yeah.
Podbeans.
Podbean.
Me? Forget about Podbean? I appreciate you bringing it up, Tassie. Thank you very much. All right. Our fourth five-star review, Beardos. This one's from Muy Excitado. Amazing show. All 5 guys have beards, including, I think, one of the guys from Duck Dynasty. I'm guessing me, could be JD, not sure. But this is what I love about this review. You never hear their beards scratching the microphone. That's down to the great work of producer JD, a retired DJ, who's also the long-lost son of music producer Rick Rubin. Also, the B-Ball Talk's pretty good. 5 stars.
Yeah. Way to go, JD. Is that what you do? You have to, every time we send you our file, you have to go through it and like edit out all the beard hitting the mic incidents?
That's right. I call it the beard pass. It's just scrub through, it's like shaving, really. Shaving right. The podcast of facial hair.
Okay. Well, you do an excellent job.
Thank you.
Nice. ZZ Top is coming to town.
Ooh.
Oh, hey. Wow. Yeah. Where are they playing?
I don't know. In the A. ZZ in the A. Some huge venue, I'm sure.
Yeah. I'm going to get me some standing room only tickets for that one.
Oh, yeah. You need some legs for that. Lucky they've got a song just for that, KD.
Nicely done.
Do you know they're called ZZ Top in Canada, Lee?
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, really? I don't know. Is that true? Well, I don't know.
I beat you to it, Sam. I didn't even see you.
Ding!
Didn't even see you.
There actually is, now that you mention it, there's a... I don't even know why I started this story. Cool story, bro.
I don't know if it's a bit or it's a real story.
There's a Queens of the Stone Age song that one of the guys from ZZ Top plays on, and his beard hits the string. He calls it a beard harmonic. So if you ever want to look that up... You can hear a guy's beard hit a guitar string. Hey, you there. Sometimes you just say something, you're like, why? 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 5 stars.
You want to do a beard harmonic right now? I'm not getting much sound.
Yeah, I don't get anything. Sorry, JD, you're going to have to edit it all.
Yeah, you're going to have to shave that one off. Yeah. We got one last 5-star review. This one comes from A. Horton, 5 stars. Best outro in the game. I literally only watch for the final quote after every episode. It's extremely taxing considering I hate basketball, but it's totally worth it. There's something for everybody, A. Horton, and I'm sure Tass has a banger in the chamber right now.
Well, I was just going to ask that. Did you want to tease one, Tass? You got one percolating right now. You got one banked already. I'm always
fine. Oh, no. No. No, I'm waiting for the end of the show. I mean, everybody brings it in rapid fire. I'm sure there'll be something to go on.
Okay.
I usually just wait because there's just... such good stuff comes out of this show.
Okay. There it is. 5-star Friday. Thank you so much to everybody that left an Apple Podcast review in those 5 stars. Apologies again for the complications with this show getting up to Apple in a timely manner. Look, I don't know about you guys. I think maybe Tass, it worked for you. Yesterday's show is still not showing for me in Apple Podcasts. So it's gone. It's never going to get there, or I don't know. Maybe it will. It's frustrating, but it's there on Spotify. It's here, obviously, on YouTube. Please subscribe to No Dunks on YouTube and the Apple, the Athletic app, as well, as Trey said. But yeah, what do we do at this point except go, you know, update your update. That's basically what we're at.
Update your update. Yeah, I just checked. I still don't got it. So I guess yesterday's podcast was an exclusive drop task. Congratulations on getting in there. Actually get the download in, man. That's huge.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, it's like you somehow won an NFT or something like that. Basically the equivalent.
This is big time, man.
All right, let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Twitter.
I have tweet of the night duties. Usually we go with something jokey jokey, something hilarious, but we're going frickin' serious here because the Olympics are in 3 weeks. They start 3 weeks today. The torch will be lit. And American sprinter Sha'Carri Richardson qualified recently for the 100-meter dash. She's also supposed to be participating in the 200-meter dash. She's got the nail. She's got the hair. She's got the vibes. But this from Tyler Dragon of the Cincinnati Inquirer. According to a source, American sprinter Sha'Carri Richardson failed a drug test and could miss the Olympics. The Jamaica Gleaner newspaper was first. So what drugs is she doing? Well, something ridiculous, right? Obviously, that's banned. Well, Tyler goes on, she didn't use steroids. According to a source, Richardson is facing a 30-day suspension for testing positive for marijuana. You know, that drug that makes you run super duper fast. It's ridiculous. A drug that's legal in 19 states, and Stan Van Gundy concurs. This is absurd. She is going to miss the Olympics for recreational marijuana use. Marijuana? Are you freaking kidding me? She ran a 10.86 earlier this year. She qualified 10.72 earlier this year. And it's likely that she's not going to be there. And moving on to the final tweet here, JD, comes from Sha'Carri Richardson herself. She tweeted, "I am human." I loved watching her sprint at the American Trials because she's got all the flair, the flow. Now I don't know if anything will change from now until the IOC makes a decision, but that 10.86 is apparently gone because she recreationally used marijuana. She did not qualify, so they have told the other second, third, fourth American Olympians that they are subbing in. And there's some talk that she could run the 4x100, but not the sprint. I mean, it's nuts. She's doing media right now this morning, so I don't know if anything will change because it is marijuana, and it doesn't make you any faster. It doesn't really make a lot of sense. But yeah, it's obviously extremely disappointing. The Olympics and the IOC just got to change this one. I mean, change it now, quick.
I think so she can spin it. I hope I don't have this wrong because I know this was happening this morning. I think she even said she did use it because she was grieving the passing of her biological mother. I think is like that was like she turned to it to help her through that sort of you know mentally and stuff like that because she was on the Today Show and she by no means she's not like oh what somebody must have somehow slipped that to me like she's like no I did it this is you know it's a shame that they're gonna take away my Olympic berth here. Yeah, it's ridiculous. I got nothing else to add. Stupid.
Yeah, it's just a stupid rule that will likely get changed in the future.
I hope so.
And yeah, I guess, you know, shout out to her for certainly taking responsibility for it, but I think we all agree that the rule's the rule, but that should not be the rule.
Yeah, I mean, Sam pointing out, does Snoop Dogg run a 4:20 in the 100 meter? Is he like the fastest man? Is like he faster than Usain Bolt? We just don't know it. Yeah, Lee, anything to add?
I just can't believe in the year 2021 marijuana is somehow illegal. I mean, cannabis has benefits for people. And again, in this situation, under what happened to her, you know, she wasn't taking it for performance enhancing. I mean, there's plenty of performance enhancing drugs out there. This is not one of them. But the IOC, that's the worst thing about the Olympics. So,
yep.
You know, we got to get rid of them and just have the Olympics done, run the right way.
Do you want to run the
freestyle
Olympics?
I tell you what,
I wouldn't mind having a go at running the Olympics. It'd be way more fun. You wouldn't have those idiots who just get bribed nonstop to vote on, where the Olympics is going to be held. I think countries and cities are starting to be like, why do we just bribe the IOC to have the Olympics in our city? It just doesn't worth it. The cities, you know, we know, just don't profit from it. It all goes back to the IOC. So, I'm going to throw my hat in the ring. Why not?
Okay.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
Lee
sure.
wants to host the Olympics. Are we doing
host
it
and run. Yeah.
Okay. We're going to do it at your place here in Atlanta? You don't have a big yard, man.
4x100 just up the road from my place?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well, look, I mean, I'm opening it up.
Just use my buddy Grisha's yard like we did with that slip-and-slide.
I'm opening it up, and I'm going to throw a few more sports in there as well. So, look, we've got beach volleyball. Now, I am not necessarily a big beach volleyball Olympic sport fan.
Okay.
I think it's
Be
fine
careful,
to play.
Be careful, it's a great
I
sport.
I know. I'm just saying. I just don't view beach volleyball as an Olympic sport. It's fun. I went to it when I was in Athens,
okay.
right?
Okay,
Because, you know, it's entertaining to me in the crowd. But if you're going to have beach volleyball, I'm throwing in beach cricket as well. We're playing beach cricket at the Olympics.
Okay, all beach sports. Add them all. Beach basketball.
And I'm getting rid of the rule, like, Tass, you know, in Athens, in Greece had to have, like, basically a representative in each sport, right? They had a baseball team.
Hey, they're still baseball. They're still baseballing, man. They're better than most of those crap teams. But yeah, I get it. I get
what
you're saying.
I'm getting rid of that rule. It's like,
you don't like that rule.
No. Because it's
like... Well, this is stupidly... You just said you're hosting the Olympics, which means you would have been allowed to go in every event.
I'm definitely going to make that a rule that I can go into. Which event would I go into? Oh, probably, you know what I would go into? Probably the men's 200-meter freestyle, because, you know, I would lose by a mile, but I'd have the crowd support. I think it was like Eddie the Eagle, wasn't it, that guy? Yeah. You know.
Well,
and I'd love to see... Because swimming's one of those ones, you know, like... And the men's 100 meters as well. I'd love to just see a regular mid-40s-year-old guy race up against those guys who are running it in 10 seconds. I wonder how fast I could do 100 these days. Probably 14 seconds, you think? 14 or 15 seconds?
I would say 15. But yeah. Yeah, sure. Put me down for 14. I think you can do 14. I actually don't know how fast you are. I don't think I've ever seen you just straight up run.
Yeah. Been a while, but anyway, just I think that'd be a fun idea. It's like, you know, you got, you know, Usain Bolt and Michael Johnson and those guys out there, and then you just got this little old guy out there. Like, all right, I'm just going to give him my best, you know?
It would, honestly, it'd make probably a lot more people, like, respect some of the athletes and the sports they're doing if you had just an average Joe trying to do it. You're like, whoa, okay.
And there'd be no one needing to drug test me afterwards. No one would say, well, that guy's definitely on PED.
That guy's had some weight loss, no doubt. All right.
That sucks. Yeah, just wrap it up. You said Usain Bolt. If you haven't seen Sha'Carri Richardson's run during the U.S. trials, she's got Usain Bolt vibes,
yeah,
too.
She
was crossing the finish line, looking towards the camera, looking towards her competitor. She knew she won. And that sucks. I'm watching the Olympics, like, minute by minute. I just wanted to, you know, I want to see these characters. So,
yeah,
it stinks. 3 weeks today, but...
Doesn't look like she will be there unless something changes here. Maybe. It sounds unlikely. It's crazy. All right, let's end this drop podcast with a little rapid fire fun. TK, you got the questions today.
Indeed I do. First rapid fire question. After 16 seasons in the NBA, Chris Paul is heading to the finals for the first time. Fellas, what's something you've wanted to do since you were 20 and still think could happen? Skeets.
Well, when I was 20, it was the year 2000. I was in Australia and it was the first season ever of Survivor. And I was hooked immediately, and I was like, man, I'd like to go on that show. I think I'd be okay on that show. Decent in the challenges, got a social game, I like to think at least. You know, hey, it's 20 years later. I still want to go on. I think my chances are better now trying to be like sort of one of the older guys. They're not going to pick me as the youthful guy back when I was 20. So, yeah, go on Survivor. I've said it before here on the show. That's my answer.
Great answer, especially as a physically fit 40-year-old man. They would love to have you on there.
Call me
abs.
Terry Dietz.
Terry Skeets.
Terry Skeets.
I think you're very athletic, but I think your best part of your game would be your social game.
Oh,
Skeets.
Thank you, JD. Thank you.
Honestly, yeah. Okay. I think you could win the whole thing.
All right, JD, we got to make this video. I keep saying it. Now I just got to do it. I do have it, you know, I use one of those apps that like a task manager, right? You know, okay, whatever. Garbage days on Monday, just reminders and stuff like that, or do this, whatever. I have in my task manager as like a future like thing I gotta check off is to apply for Survivor. So it's still there. I look at it all the time, I'm reminded, and now I just gotta do it. All right. Thank you, JD, for the vote of confidence. Okay.
JD, what's something you wanted to do since you were 20? Still think could happen.
Yeah, so when I was 20, SNL had been on the air for 15 years already. I was like, God, I'd love to work on that show. I'm 50. It's still on the air.
Let's go.
It could still happen, right? What would I do on the show? I don't know. Maybe like, ideally like write and produce a digital short or something. I think I could hold my own for one episode, one digital short. Just give me a chance, Lauren. Give me a chance, man.
Hey, Jeff. Hey, Lauren. Give us a chance. That's all we want.
Oh, the Hurley boy. Let's be on your show. I love it. Lee, something you wanted to do since you were 20, still think could happen.
You know, I think one day I am going to go skydiving. When I was about 20, I was like, yeah, let's do it.
Do it.
Sort of look into it, but then you sort of just like, you go, no, I don't really want to do it. But I'm like, you know what? I think I will do it one day. I don't know when, I don't know where, but I think it will be. I will be skydiving at some point. So hopefully it will happen. I just don't know exactly where. Just follow me on Instagram. Maybe you'll see me just falling out of a plane one time.
All right. Plug. That's at Lee Ellis on Instagram. Make sure to toss him a follow. He may be skydiving at some point in the future. Don't know when. Don't know where. Stay tuned to Instagram for all the updates. All right. Let's stay in the past here. The NCAA is now allowing student athletes to profit from their names, images, and likenesses. Fellers, what's a product you would have endorsed back in your school days? Skeets.
Easy answer. Do you guys remember those? I mean, I'm sure they still exist, but they were big 20 years ago. Those grilled cheese sandwich makers, like that made them into like the triangles, right? You could do pizza in there too. If you're really creative, you could like do eggs somehow in there. But the grilled cheese sandwich maker, for sure I would have endorsed. At one point during high school, I had people coming, as I live pretty close to high school, to the school, like a bunch of people would come to my house for lunch, and I had like a grilled cheese like factory going, pumping these things out, because you can make them so quick in there. So big fan of the product. I actually don't remember what the brand name was, but I would love to slap my name on it like a George Foreman grill and pitch the grilled cheese sandwich. Yeah, I love those. I gotta get one of those machines again.
I think we just got rid of ours in our latest move. We had it forever.
Yeah. I feel like they're not as popular as they were 20 years ago. No. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe
Did you have to butter up the outside, or are you just throwing it straight on there?
You could do a little shot of cooking oil if you wanted. Sure. But I just remember buttering the bread itself and then putting it in. So not really. Not a lot. Get those nice like a real crispy edge around that triangle.
Ooh.
Yeah, no
Lee,
doubt.
Yeah, okay, you guys agree. Lee, do you know what I'm talking about, this machine?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, but yeah.
Okay.
We'll have to see if Breaking Tea has any ins with the grilled cheese makers out there. We'll drop a No Dunks grilled cheese maker. That would be a very weird but exclusive product.
Hamilton, it was somebody just said, rip Hamilton and Beach. It was a Hamilton and Beach for sure. Great call there, Protocol, or whatever your name is. Awesome.
All right, JD, what's a product you would have endorsed during your school days?
Yeah, so when I was 20, again, we're going back to 1990 here. Again, very easy answer for me. Bucket hats and fanny packs. Here I am
look.
German train station, and I've got my trusty bucket hat, and I've got a little leather fanny pack around my my waist there.
Yeah. Awesome picture.
That is a badass photo.
I could pull off this look today, I think. Bucket hats are back, fanny packs are back, so anyways, yeah, bucket hats and fanny packs.
JD, if you told me that was your son, I would believe you.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, my God, doesn't it look exactly like Jackson?
Yeah. Definitely more Jackson than Lincoln in that one. Yeah. Sure, yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Creepy.
Oh, man, JD, the reviews are flying in. Drip. It's got like a leaky faucet with all the drip.
Oh, you said you're at a German train station. I thought it was a park.
No, it was a train station. Stuttgart, probably.
Nice. Lee, what are you endorsing?
Yeah, so I think everyone remembers at some point in their life they had one of those Radio FM hats. You know, and
nope.
From the office.
But at some point an NBA version of those, and I got one. I think of the Hornets or the Pacers or someone like that. I remember for where I was working, and I was like, "This is really cool." I used to wear it and use it, so I would endorse it. I was ahead of the game. Just no one else was playing that game. So, it's funny whenever people do reference that. I'm like, man, I actually used mine. I liked it. But they never became mainstream. No one ever was like, oh, man, that's a cool hat. I just like, it's practical. It gives me the radio. I'm fine with it.
Please tell me you have a picture with that, huh?
I don't have a picture with that, unfortunately. But I remember because I used to like, you know, I used to love listening to the radio. So I used to love having, like, great, I don't have to carry it. I get the hat to protect me from the sun, and I get the radio, and I can lift up the aerial if I need to as well.
This is a genius product.
Yeah, I know. It's just, I was just like, wonder why this didn't take off. No one else really seemed to be into it. Like, and it was an NBA hat as well. I was like, nah, this is perfect. But yeah, never really sort of saw anyone, and you gave them a little dap on the street saying, yeah, cool hat, man. So I was alone on that
cool
one.
Cool hat, man. Can you tell me what the traffic's like over on 85? You get AM on that?
We got to get a poll up. What percentage of people actually did have an FM radio hat? Because, Lee, you're saying pretty confidently, I think everyone at some point in their life had one of these, but look, maybe you were early, man. Now we're podcasters. Imagine being able to have a pod cap. You put it on, it's got all your favorite episodes just loaded up in there. We got to dig up all of the old Blank Jones episodes and release them in a hat or something like that.
I think if you did put a poll up, I don't think people would be completely honest about whether or not they had one, even for just like one word. I think people would just say, no way. I'm not even going to pretend that I had it. I think people were kind of like, I think people were more like me, like fascinated by the idea. Then they just realized it wasn't a winner. But I think there was more people out there had them than they're prepared to admit.
I'm not crazy, right, Lee? Like the UK version of The Office, Tim gets the FM radio hat.
Yeah,
for, like,
for
his birthday. Yeah.
Yeah, from his mum, I think.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Okay.
And that was, no, hang on, what year was that? No, I was I was a few years ahead of that. So that's the thing. They've sort of gone in cycles a little bit. So.
I don't think they have. I don't think they've gone in cycles. I think they were there and then they've been gone.
If you've got one, make sure you tweet it in a picture of it, because I'm sure there's a few out there somewhere.
Here, I'll tweet in a picture right here. Look at this guy. Look at this. I love the caption here.
Okay.
Look at this badass. He can listen to the radio wherever he goes with the ingenious radio hat. Best enjoyed whilst reading the newspaper and smoking a spliff.
Don't take that to the Olympics, and you won't be allowed in. Yeah.
I like, there's no headphones either on this thing. You're just blaring out.
If I'm listening to the radio, you're listening to the radio.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's it. Hat FM. Yeah.
Oh, come on. If that said no dunks on the front, you could actually
That's true. We should sell these. Let's talk to Breaking Team. We might need to somebody talk to Breaking there. Hat.
Somebody must have like one iPod that happens to have a bunch of old episodes on it.
You can somehow
put it into the hat or something. We gotta work up a prototype. Sure. Final rapid fire question. Haters always want to say a championship that their favorite team doesn't win deserves an asterisk. But as Lee once explained, every championship deserves an asterisk, which means no championships deserve an asterisk. Guys, what's something that does deserve an asterisk? Skeets.
To go back to Survivor here for a second. Spoiler alert for anyone that hasn't watched season 38. Go ahead. Skip, skip, skip. Turn off the stream right now if you don't want to be spoiled. But Chris Underwood winning that season. Edge of Extinction. I mean, he played 13 out of the 39 days. Look, he did some big things. He came back. He made some big moves. He won an idol late there, the final immunity, and then he gave that immunity up to take on Rick in the fire challenge. That was huge.
Mm-hmm.
He also convinced Lauren to give him an immunity idol. So he made some late big moves. I don't want to say like he did nothing, but still, JD, Trey, I mean, we talked about it at the time. Like, that's a tough one. The guy was on Edge of Extinction for 2/3 of the game. He was voted out early and still managed to win it. Yeah.
Voted out early. You could argue, though, voted out early because he was a threat. And then you left out the part where he endured being on Extinction Island for all that time.
Yeah.
That's part of the game. That was part of the game that season. So
for sure,
fine with
every
it. But
every win of Survivor is an incredible win. I don't care how you got there. It's pretty amazing, and you can do it many different ways. But it's still just weird that he played a third of the game, but I get it. He's still playing even on Edge of Extinction is the problem.
Yeah, it doesn't feel right. It feels like Probst moved the goalposts of the parameters of the game changed that season. So it just didn't. It didn't feel right. It didn't feel right for sure. Yeah. So I'm fine with that asterisk.
But taking on Rick, like giving up his guaranteed spot in the final.
Yeah.
To take on Rick, who would have won if he actually made it through, then, I mean, that was a ballsy move. And he's like, all right, well, I've been on an island for 23 days. I think I can make fire. Let's go.
That's true.
He had the confidence. He'd been surviving. But anyway, that's my answer.
Good one. JD, throw an asterisk on something.
Yeah, I really fell into the weeds with this one because I was like, you know what? Every single Oscar winner, I think I could put an asterisk on. So I was going to like rapid fire, just go through them all. But then I really, it became overwhelming. So I'm just going to give you one asterisk.
Okay.
And that is 1994, Forrest Gump. Literally all the other movies in contention were better than Forrest Gump, in my opinion. You had Pulp Fiction, you had Four Weddings and a Funeral, you had Shawshank Redemption, even Quiz Show. All better movies. All better movies than Forrest Gump. But yeah, so put a big old asterisk. I don't know what the asterisks would say. Like, I don't know, Zemeckis Lifetime Achievement Award? I don't know. I don't know what you would say, but was it Zemeckis? Who directed that thing?
Spielberg.
No. Forrest Gump? No.
Forrest Gump was...
Was it?
Yeah, it was Zemeckis.
Oh,
yeah, it was
Zemeckis.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. So it's like, thanks for Back to the Future, Zemeckis. Here's an Oscar for a terrible movie.
What should have won, in your opinion?
Pulp Fiction should have won that year. For me, but I would have been fine with Shawshank.
Yeah, I
go Shawshank, but Four Weddings was a great movie too.
I've watched it recently and it holds up. It's really good.
So Jonathan, how is that gorgeous girlfriend of yours? She's no longer my girlfriend. Oh, that's too bad. Still, I wouldn't get too gloomy about it. Rumor has it she never stopped a bonking old Toby to lie. She is now my wife.
Give you the Oscar.
Yeah, give him an Oscar. This guy's hosting his own Olympics.
Yeah.
Quoting.
What can't this guy do?
Quotes? Come on. this guy's not going to be able to answer his last question thinking about Four Weddings and a Funeral. Throw an asterisk on something.
Did you name your son Oscar so you could give yourself an Oscar? Wow.
I should have. I'm going to throw an asterisk on myself anytime I say I'm a vegetarian because I'm trying. Right. I'm trying. But, it is hard sometimes. It's hard. You know, you go to someone's house because you're starting to go to people's house now and like, if ever I see like some, hors d'oeuvres or snacks and they've got the pancetta there, I'm like, oh my God, I just can't resist just a little bit here and there. And the other day, well, we were at Grisha's house when we had the water slide a few weeks ago and he cooked these ribs and I walked in the kitchen and I was like, the Finding Nemo scene where the shark gets the blood up the nose and he's like, because he says he's not eating fish anymore and then he gets the blood and he goes crazy trying to eat... Dory and Marvin.
This
or
guy
what's
goes
his name?
From Four Weddings and a Funeral.
Yeah,
right, every movie right to Finding Nemo.
And those ribs were there, and they looked so good. And I'm like, all right, just gonna have one. And then, Grish nailed it. So I ended up having like six ribs, and I'm just like, oh man, I'm a struggling vegetarian, you know. But I'm still a vegetarian
with an asterisk. Get ready for a week of Chris Paul is on a plant-based diet. Articles and talking points. I'm surprised we haven't heard more of it throughout the playoffs. Feels like we haven't heard it enough. But we got a week now until they play, so I'm sure we'll hear more. All right, well, that's rapid fire. That's the drop. Thanks so much to everybody for joining us live on the stream team. Congratulations if you're one of the lucky few that managed to download this podcast on Apple Podcasts. You win! Hopefully this gets to all of you in a timely manner. Shout out to everybody that listens on Spotify and the Athletic app. Go get your No Dunks gear over at nodunks.com. Get yourself an Athletic subscription so you can, if you want to, listen to No Dunks without the ads on the app there. Go to theathletic.com/nodunks so they know that we sent you. And finally, keep your emails and your questions and all that coming to nodunks@theathletic.com because you know we'll be stepping on the beach at some point next week. Fun show. Again, thanks everybody joining us live. Guys, enjoy the weekend. Lee, have a blast in New York. Hey, quickly, what are you doing in New York this weekend? What's Lee doing?
We're doing a lot of touristy stuff. We're going to see the Statue of Liberty. We're going to see the Ghostbusters firehouse. We're going to the Empire State Building.
What? The second thing on your list in New York City firehouse. Is the Ghostbusters.
Man, I'm telling you.
Say hi to Slimer.
All right. Yeah. The boys just, you know, there's a couple of movie things that they want to see. So we're going to go and check them all out. So it's awesome.
All right. Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, the Phoenix Suns got to the finals because their star point guard is on a vegan diet. Their star point guard Langston Galloway is also a plant-based vegan eater, according to his Instagram profile. Respect. Just learn that. Okay. I love this guy.
Embrace the weekend, people.